Hey, queer friends, are you ready to be inspired? Welcome to Season 5 of Coming Out and Beyond, a podcast that shares stories from the LGBTQIA+ community. Here's your host, Anne-Marie Zanzel.
Hi, this is Anne-Marie Zanzel here. Do you know that I have another podcast? It's called Queer Business Success, and we feature queer business owners and allies in the sports and the services they have for our community. I had the honor to interview my friend April Mason on that podcast, and I want to share that podcast with you today on Coming Out and Beyond. April is not only a very successful business owner, she is my friend and another late in life lesbian. Have a listen.
Hi, this is Anne-Marie Zanzel, and welcome back to another episode of Queer Business Success. Today, I get to interview a friend. April Mason identifies as a lesbian, and she uses she, her pronouns, and she is the owner and founder of Violet PR. They help places, companies, and people get news coverage, and she's got over 12 employees, and they are based in Montclair, New Jersey. April Mason, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So nice to be here.
So part of this queer business success is that we ask people a little bit about their coming out stories and how they came to identify as being lesbian. And so can you tell us a little bit about your coming out story?
Sure. So I am a later in life lesbian. I came out at 41. I was married to a man for about 12 years, and I have two daughters that are now teenagers. And at the age of 40, a good friend of mine kissed me suddenly, and a woman, and it just changed my whole view on life in that moment. And I realized that at that moment, I remember thinking, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life. And of course, it wasn't as simple as realizing I was gay and then starting to date women. I then reevaluated my marriage. We went to counseling, and about a year later, we separated.
And so
I came out.
And so April and I met in a mutual support group for people coming out later in life that was started about 8 years ago. It does no longer exist. So we met there, and then my wife and I went up to Provincetown, Massachusetts, which if you don't know what that is, it's a lovely LGBTQ community up on the tip of the Cape Cod. And April and I and a bunch of other people were at this same event, and we had a blast together. And that's when our friendship started. And so I was always really impressed with April because she owned her own company and had been doing it for a number of years. So you started your company way before you came out or anything like that, right?
Yeah, it was. I actually started the business in the middle of the recession. My job was sort of, I saw the writing on the wall at a company I was working for in New York City. And I started to take on clients on the side, and this was 2010, and then officially cut the cord from a full-time job the following year in 2011. So I've been on my own since then. The first couple of years, it was just me consulting. And I hired my first employee 10 years ago. So that was when the company, I think of the company actually really launching in 2013 with hiring the first person. And so I got separated only 2 years after that. So it was all happening kind of, you know, around the same time.
What was it like for you to cut the cord with a W-2 job where you knew you were going to get this paycheck every single week? And as both of us know, as entrepreneurs, it's a hustle, especially in the beginning. Like, you really have to work hard to be able to, you know, get noticed, get people to trust you. You're in a different type of business, but it's a hustle in the beginning. So what was it like for you when you decide, you know, when you cut the cord? What were the feelings you were experiencing?
I mean, the biggest one was sheer terror, I would say. And I thought about it for a good year and even had an interlude where I took a job working for a client when I knew my agency was basically going under. I took on a couple of clients on the side, but I still wasn't confident that I could make a living. I needed the money to pay our mortgage. So even though I was married, I was the primary breadwinner in that relationship. Mm-hmm. So I made about twice as much as he did. And we needed the money to pay the mortgage. So I wasn't in a position to be able to leave my job and spend a year building my business. So instead, I actually worked as a consultant and as a full-time employee for about 9 to 9 months until I did quit that job.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, what does Violet PR do? What does your company do?
Good question. And my mother still, I think, wonders exactly. So I started off my career actually working for Kansas City. And my background is working in economic development. So working for cities, states, some nonprofits that help attract companies or jobs to a community. Basically, any organization that helps make a place better. Those are the kinds of organizations that I tend to work with. And what we do for them, we don't place advertising. Instead, we identify what stories do they have to tell? And we pitch those news stories to national and regional media outlets and work to really change a perception of a place or a company or a nonprofit through news coverage and also through social media, like LinkedIn, Instagram, that kind of thing.
How did you develop those contacts with the news media?
Good question. So I did not start my business in a completely new field. I started my business in a field I knew really, really well. And I worked for two other PR agencies that were in similar spaces over about a 12-year period. And so I already knew the industry and I knew how to do the work of public relations. What I didn't know was how to run a business. And I had always just felt it would be much, much safer for me to work for somebody else, do what I'm good at, but let somebody else worry about the financials of a business. And what happened to me was the recession hit and I saw my boss basically cut everyone's salary across the board. And I thought that was a terrible decision because what he could have done instead was make the really tough decision of letting the people go that were not building the business and continuing to operate the business with a smaller team that he paid well. But instead, he did not make that tough decision. And I just felt everything slipping away that I had worked for so long.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get over the financial side or the fear of running a business? We've never really talked about this before in depth. And one of the things, like when I started my business, I had no leeway. I had to pay the mortgage, And so when you have to be, when it's not a side hustle and it's something that has to work, I think a lot of times there's a lot of energy behind that to make it work. But the financial side, running this, the business side of the business, for me, it's like the marketing side of this business. How did you get over your fear of that? What happened?
We hired a coach, which made a huge difference. Yes. Mm-hmm. I found a coach who specialized in working with women and entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. I met with her at the beginning. It was every week for about 12 weeks. And it was after I had taken the safe route by taking this job working for a client. And I realized I hated every second of it. But terrified to quit, and I didn't really have enough money consulting to quit yet. And so she and I worked through my fears together and very, very open with her about how I felt. And part of it was that my father had run a business that failed. Mm-hmm. So I had always viewed entrepreneurship in through that lens.
Right.
But I think she was able to help me realize that, you know, those two things were not the same at all. He was running a retail business, mm-hmm. and a furniture store, in fact, and I was running a professional services company or potentially, and in an industry that I knew backwards and forwards. So it wasn't apples to apples. Mm-hmm. But it took a long time, mm-hmm. me digging deep, and me also interviewing at the same time for full-time jobs and realizing mm-hmm. that I wasn't finding a job that would meet my needs because we were in the recession.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So are you in the process of coming out later in life? Are you feeling isolated or lost, cut off from friends and family, or just trying to figure out what is the next step for you? Well, I have a wonderful coaching program called Lotus Group Coaching. It is for people who are female identifying, cis or trans, or non-binary folks comfortable in those spaces. And we provide emotional, spiritual, and intellectual support for people who are in the process of coming out later in life. We discuss many things in our community, but what's most important is that you have a community of others who understand. Each one of the coaches in the program have come out later in life, and everybody who is a member of our program is somewhere in the process. So if you are seeking community and you want a soft place to land, go to my website, AmoryZanzel.com, and book a connection call. We would love to talk to you.
So it's very interesting. It sounds like as you had this sort of metamorphosis right around 41, 42 or so, and, you know, not only you realize stuff about yourself, like about as a business owner, but you also realize stuff about your sexuality. And so I have a really tough question for you. How has embracing your sexuality and who you are as a human being, how has that helped you in growing and expanding your business?
Wow. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that before. And I've never really connected the two consciously.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, knowing that I'm not looking to remarry a man.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, dating lesbians has been challenging in the right. sense that, you know, one, it's hard to find a partner that's the right fit, but also it's harder, I think, to find, you know, if I were looking for a sugar mama, I think that's difficult.
So I don't think you need a sugar mama, April.
I don't need a sugar mama, but at the time, you know, there were women that I knew in the divorced community that they were looking for a man to take care of them. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't an option for me. And I didn't want that. And I, for, you know, for multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. So I think it was embracing myself and I learned a lot about myself going through this journey as a lesbian, a new lesbian, and also as an entrepreneur.
And a relatively new entrepreneur at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. I'd only really been on my own a few years when all of this happened, mm-hmm. and my marriage blew up. And so suddenly I had to really grow up and embrace myself in all facets of myself in a way that I had never done before.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that for me, like coming out later in life, because it was so challenging and so difficult, and I had to reframe how I viewed the world totally. Like I even though I considered myself a feminist, I was really basically an armchair feminist. And then when I came out, it was like the rubber hit the road, and all of a sudden, all the things that I had, like, you know, mildly supported from my safety of heteronormativity and patriarchal privilege, like all of a sudden I had to step into myself and create something for myself. And also, because I'm somebody that sort of uses my pain to help others, that's just who I am. That I had, I realized I had a lot of courage. And so, like, creating a business or creating a podcast or whatever I'm doing, I'm like, okay, well, let's do this. And I figure out how to do it, and I do it. And so I feel like my coming out made me much more braver to try new things and not let the fear of stepping out of my comfort zone be anything but just fear. So now I realize, like, when something is fear, that it's just fear, and I just have to go through it until I get to the other side of it. And fear is just a feeling.
True. And I think a few things have happened to me as I've stepped into myself. And I also think about, I guess there are a couple things I'm thinking of right now. One is, if I'd stayed with my ex-husband, I know I consulted him on every decision I was making with the business before we separated. And so I might have let that limit me. I mean, he also didn't have a business background, and I might have let that limit me. I had more time because we were sharing custody of the kids 50-50. Mm-hmm. So I have been able to travel, to go to conferences. I've been able to have more flexibility to really build this business.
Mm-hmm.
I've also had two daughters that I'm very aware, you know, I may be the only one sending them to college.
Right.
And so it's also, there's more responsibility on my shoulders as mom, that I am going to make this happen for them, and I will do whatever it takes to make it happen. So I think that definitely made a big difference. And then I've had some surprises lately, where people have been surprised that for example, I was at the bank recently, and one of the bankers walked over to me and he said, "Oh, you're the owner of Violet PR." And I could tell it was because I was a woman. He was very surprised that I was the one that owned the business. And he said, "Well, usually I work with these real estate developers who may have some extra money to invest, but here's my card and you may want to invest with me." And I just remember thinking, huh, he's surprised. I guess they don't see very many women that have this much money in the bank that are businesses.
That are successful. It's so
strange.
Yeah, it is strange. It is true. Well, I know that having in my life as a minister, that, like, you know, I don't look like a typical minister. And when I used to work in hospice and I would come in and I would say, "I'm the minister," you know, and they would be like, "What?" Because I don't fit what people's idea of even a female minister. You know, typically there's a look to female ministers, and I don't look like that either. So it has always been interesting how people react to me as a female that had worked as a minister. But getting back what you said about your ex-husband, I think that if I had stayed married, because I remember at the end of, you know, right before I came out, like for the year or two, I had been working in hospice for like 7 years. And I was like so restless in the work I was doing. And I kept saying, "I feel like I'm meant for something more than this." And I kept, you know, and I couldn't figure out what that was. And I think that, you know, if I had stayed with my ex-husband, he would not have been supportive of me doing anything outside getting that W-2 paycheck, you know? And also, too, one of the reasons I went into chaplaincy is because I knew he would never move with me anywhere to get a church. So like, that's why I became a chaplain, and also because I wanted it to. I mean, I think if I, you know, we could have lived separately or something like that, but he never would have followed me for my job ever in a billion years. Now, yeah, my wife would, but he would not do that, you know?
Yeah. And I think I'm also now thinking about, you know, I did finally come out to my employees, and at the time there were only two of them. but it was, I kept it a secret for a couple of years because I just wasn't sure how they would take it. And they were both younger at the time. They were 25, you know, and mm-hmm. I was in my 40s, and they were both so supportive. Mm-hmm. And in fact, my most senior employee encouraged me to make it public and to go get the LGBT certification.
Right.
To network in those circles. And I think it's enabled me to really merge kind of who I am with my business brand. Mm-hmm. I think at the beginning, you know, my background is in economic development, which can mean a lot of things. And it can mean that you're really just helping big companies get incentives to move somewhere, to create mm-hmm. jobs for people. But I have adapted that messaging to really align with my values, which is really helping marginalized communities and women mm-hmm. and BIPOC people and LGBT people, and make these places better and promote entrepreneurs in places that it may be very difficult to be an entrepreneur. And mm-hmm. I've gotten some very specific clients. One I'm very happy and excited to work with is in Newark. It's the city of Newark. And I've wanted to work with Newark for many, many years. It's a place where, you know, there was a white flight in the 70s, really beautiful infrastructure, but very, very poor, marginalized people are living there. And mm-hmm. so my I just love working with this client, and it's my goal to help tell their stories of success and encourage, you know, people like me to go to Newark to check out a cool Black-owned restaurant, or mm-hmm. you know, buy something at their local shops. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, you asked that question about identity, and I've been able to really morph sort of what my background was with what I really want to do with it.
Well, and I think as being a lesbian in the LGBTQ community, you also understand marginalization. Yes. In a way that, like, I've talked to several other people about this too, about the loss of privilege when you move from this very heteronormative world. And I mean, both of us are still white. We still have enormous privilege in this world. But
I mean, if I walk into a place, no one automatically knows that I'm gay.
Yeah. So yeah. And, well. And me too. I mean, like, you know, except if I'm with my wife, then they know because she's masculine of center. But you know, the sense of like, under, like, it was really interesting for me when I came out was that, I started to make friends with all kinds of people, like including yourself. And, you know, we all had a heart for the marginalized communities. And I never really understood like how, because it was like such a value for me, and I never understood why some of my other friends just didn't, you know, especially, you know, from the world in which I came. And somebody reminded me once that they said, you know, even though you were not out, you still inside of yourself sense that marginalization, sense that felt different than the other, like I always felt different than the other moms. You know, the straight moms. I did too. And it wasn't until I had a retreat years ago where a bunch of us were talking about that, and everybody else did too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that in a sense that even though it took me a long time to recognize why I had such a heart for the marginalized community. And so, and it was also because of my own marginalization as a queer woman trying to live within a straight world that, you know, I was told that I was supposed to live in. And so I think that's probably, you know, maybe that's where some of your heart for helping impoverished or communities that have been marginalized, it comes from that value for yourself as well.
Yeah, it must, because I look at my family members and didn't grow up in that way.
I know. we weren't
getting up and volunteering at the food bank or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As kids, we were shopping at the mall. So, I did always identify as a liberal politically, and I identified as a feminist. And I remember, just being so excited about Hillary Clinton, and, her rise and all those things. But yeah, now I embrace it in a whole other way. And I'm really working to learn about, pioneers in the gay community that really paved the way for you and I to be
to accepted. Do what we do. Yeah. So what are you most proud of with, Violet PR?
Wow. I guess I am proud that, I mean, there's so many things I'm proud of, Anne-Marie.
You should be proud. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud that I built this business from scratch on my own with no loans or family money. I just,
you bootstrapped.
I've been able to hire people as we've had the revenue, and I've been very careful about it, and I've not taken huge risks. But now I have 13 full-time employees. And so I am really proud that I managed to get to that point. And right now we're all women, which was not by design, but, I think women are drawn to women-owned businesses. And I get that when I interview people, I've had women say to me, like, I am so excited to come work here because you're a woman and because this firm is run by women. And so really proud that I can also help mentor the younger generation and they can look at me and see a path for themselves, whether they're straight, married, gay, whatever they are, I can be a role model for other women.
Absolutely. Yeah. What has been the biggest challenge for running Violet PR?
Well, I would say, I've gone through different seasons of challenges. So when COVID hit, the challenge was about 30% of our clients stopped working with us. So we lost 30% of our revenues in about a 6-week time frame. That was terrifying. So I overcame that challenge. That actually led me to really start marketing the business in a way I had not before. And I think part of that was fear of putting myself there. And, but I spent a lot of time and money on the website, e-blasts, doing webinars, and then also going after government contracts, which is a whole proposal process unto itself, but I made myself do it. And then we were able to grow significantly as a result. Now the challenge is managing staff, kind of figuring out who the right people are to hire, because it's no longer my core group of 2 to 3 key
people that really well.
And when COVID hit, we were only 4 people. So those people I knew really well. Now being 13 people, I've made some mistakes with hiring. I've trusted certain people that then I realized I shouldn't have. I get very nervous about just bringing the wrong person in and then having to let them go. And then could there be a lawsuit and, all these things. So I think HR is a big challenge for me right now. But I have hired a consultant to help me navigate that.
It's interesting because I have made some of the big mistakes I've made with running my business have been the biggest learning experiences. Like, I have a rule now, I have to know somebody for a year before I ever do anything with them, because I think because I am, I struggle with codependency. I tend to trust people. I tend to believe everybody has good intentions. I don't even think that they don't have good intentions. It just doesn't cross my mind. And I had a partnership I did with somebody that my team and I have 2 part-time people, and my team and I, we sort of laugh at it because it was just such a debacle, but it was because I trusted somebody too soon. And then, getting to know her for about a year or two before doing a project with her. And so I think that's something that it's like hindsight is 20/20, right? That we all realize, sometimes I feel the best tuition is paid when we make a mistake. I really do.
Who have a very, I think that's right. And I think I have learned a whole lot that people can present one way in the interview.
Yeah.
And, you know, people always talk themselves up. And I tend to, and in fact, it's interesting, a couple of people that have not worked out, I actually did know them before for years, but knew them in other roles and was impressed with them from afar. But then when they came into my organization, I think it was a lot of hot air. And I realized that some people will overstate their qualifications. They have no qualms about that. And it's been really shocking to me that so I need to build that armor of, you know, maybe you don't trust everyone right away. And you take a step back and really assess. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm learning right now.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like my wife says, you know, when you go on a date, you send a representative. When you go on your job interviews, you send a representative of your best self.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What would be your advice for somebody who's going to who wants to start a business and maybe from the queer community or from other marginalized communities? What would be your one piece of advice for them?
Don't let fear stop you from doing it. And I really, as I said, I didn't have, and maybe I didn't say this, but I didn't have a lot of female role models in my life that were running businesses. Mm-hmm. I always worked for men that were running mm-hmm. business. And maybe there was another senior woman there who I would admire, but I had no concept of a woman business owner as I was coming up. And so I was overcome by fear. And it took me probably a lot longer than it should have to cut the cord and go out on my own. I think I have been more successful than a lot of men would have been, but I wasn't confident and I didn't know that about myself. And so, you know, you see these men and they, you know, they start these businesses or they put deals together with their other male friends and they make it seem easy. It is not easy. Mm-mm. But as women, we are intuitive. We are smart. We have often worked much, much harder than our male counterparts to get where we are. And so I would just say to other women, you have it inside of you. If it is what you want, you just have to get over your fear and go for it. And I think whatever support you need, I would invest in that support. So you will need coaches, you will need therapists, you will need advisors, you will need mentors. And I have relied on all of those people over the years. And I've always had a coach and multiple advisors. Mm-hmm. So reach out to people that can help build you up, but then don't let fear stop you because you're good enough and you're smart enough to do it.
Well, April, that's wonderful advice. I really, really appreciate that. How can people find you if they're like, hey, this lady's cool, I need to talk to her?
Oh, sure. Well, so the website for the company is violetpr.com. And Violet's actually named after my daughter. So, and has a lesbian kind of connection with
yes, the whole it
lavender,
does.
Lavender theme. So I named her and I named the company before I knew I was gay. So,
or maybe not.
Consciously, before I consciously knew.
If you were Lavender PR, that would be.
I know. But even I read that women used to give each other violet flowers, a symbol of, you know, queerness back in the day. So
isn't that so funny?
I know.
Isn't that funny? That's so amazing. It really, actually, it's like the synchronicity of the universe, right? Pretty cool.
Exactly. So yeah, my website, or you can Google me and find me on LinkedIn and write me a message. So it's April Mason, Violet PR, and I'm on LinkedIn and I'll respond.
April, thank you so much for spending time here with me today. And I'm so excited to hear a little bit more. We've never really chatted about your business side. So excited to hear a little bit more about the other part of your life.
Thank you. It's been really fun and actually enlightening for me too. So thank you, Anne.
You've been listening to Coming Out and Beyond, LGBTQIA+ Stories with Anne-Marie Zanzel. New episodes of the Coming Out and Beyond podcast drop every other Friday. You can tune in at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and at annemariezanzel.com. Be sure to hit subscribe when tuning in so you never miss an episode. And for more resources, articles, videos, and a free downloadable guide for coming out later in life, visit annemariezanzel.com.